I'd like to welcome a very talented poet who will be featuring, co-featuring with Mike Santoro over at the Colonial and Open Mic this fall. And she's a dear friend. I haven't seen her in a while. I'm glad she's here tonight. Please welcome Suzanne Owens.
Oh, yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, it's been a while. This is great. Thank you. Hi, everybody. It's so good to be back here. I'm just wanting to tell you about weird things that happen when you have hundreds of poems. I found this one, and I thought, oh, that's sort of interesting. Maybe I should read it. This is really old. Maybe I should try to get it published. And then I looked through this book called Theater Poems, and it's in here. And I forgot I'd even got it published, let alone the poem. So this is two poems about the theater. And this one is called Types Waiting to be Hired in the Agency Office. This could be my third commercial, and I'm only 18, but I already know a thing or two. I know what I am in this world of advertising. I'm not the champagne type, 6'1", 100 pounds, big eyes, long neck, long legs, all bone, like that woman Verushka over there, collapsed beneath the gooseneck lamp. She's powdering the shadows under her I've seen and done everything eyes. No, I'm only 5'4", and I'm called the homespun type. They drape me in flannelette pajamas, a house coat, pull my hair back for real bristle brooms, maxi pads. Still, I wonder what it would be like to be Verushka Ramaka. Even her name has six syllables, ends in a foreign ka. I examine the magazine on my lap. Her familiar face glows up at me, a morning sunrise before another storm. And yet, she's sitting right over there. Now her long bones unfold like a clothes-drying trestle. She stretches from the fjords of a leather armchair. She rises, breastless, hipless. She strolls by me, an iceberg in a tiger jumpsuit at 10 a.m. Bizarre on one side moves with her thigh. Her briefcase, excuse me. Stuffed, yeah, it's stuffed. Photo proofs. Verushka, ravaged but glutted, breathes Chanel, eats beef tartare, bonbons, lives in silk sheets. My imagination leaps as she lolls by the secretary. His eyes follow her each confident point and add up the degrees. Not only this, but her voice corners the darkest caramel after it's been stretched, twisted, and pulled. So what if that pile of string and sticks poses for an infamous photographer in a French wine that's waited for her since before my birth? I suppose she even sips in an accent, and each eyelash curls on its own. Suddenly, I'm awakened from my musing. Buster Brown has called for me. Today, I shall disappear into the soul of a sneaker. Thank you. And this is about the very, very famous actress called Mae West. She was born in 1892 and died in 1950. And she really paved a path in the theater. She gained fame when she wrote the play Sex in 1926. However, the court, hearing of her play The Drag, which was the first serious drama about homosexuality, heightened her notoriety. Won the Jazz Baby. I was the hottest little jazz baby of the jazz age. Sex intrigued me. I could do or say anything if I distributed my smile and delivered the ironic. Something perverse, some deeper force compelled me. I wanted to probe society's secrets, to tell the truth to the smoother over folk. I may be no angel, but I can spread my wings a little. When I learned once you've lost the audience, you have to fly in on the wings to make your entrance and shoot yourself to make your exit. I paid them all and closed the show. Just because I'm vulgar doesn't mean my heart isn't 22 carat. The playwright. Before I wrote The Drag, that gangster, Legs Diamond, made bigger headlines than any Broadway show. Not one playwright had explored homosexuality. Why, I ask myself, why do the most daring editors of scandal sheets run from the word sex? It's hidden in the opposite sex, fair sex. Yet kids are making babies in the rumble seats of Packards. No wonder it's called the Wicked Age. From every major city, they came and paid unheard of prices to see The Drag. It took hours to empty the theater. The audience stuck around after the show. They were curious to see the actors. Though I wrote not one profane word, the censors pressured me. Tone it down, tone it down. New York banned it, afraid to disappoint its many odd important people. Obscene, lascivious, lewd, the two pious held. Wasn't Oscar Wilde thrown behind bars for merely hinting at his passions? Isn't it in the theater, the army, the English public schools? Didn't the verboten vice cause mayhem in the German Kaiser courts before the war? You can find your good and evil every night in the Fancy Speaks, the Lido, Flamingo, and Silver Slipper. The best, the worst, the highs and lows meet there. Guilty. My father taught me how to dance to the St. Louis Blues before I was seven, the way they dance in India. I rose to stardom in The Baby Vamp at 17. When I stood trial for The Drag, I wore Taboo, a tight metallic evening gown, and the court growled. Her navel moved from right to left. Did you see her navel move from right to left? Courtroom tittered. Too much of a good thing can be wonderful, but nothing stays the same. Vaudeville theaters become movie palaces. Success is a golden sword. It has two sides, and what the two-faced do in private, they condemn in public. The inmate. I don't expect to get silk underwear or read Freud, Jung, and Adler on Welfare Island, where I'm imprisoned for corrupting the morals of youth. But there is a realistic drama there in the tombs. They come like vermin, the blameless, the despairing, and those who improvise their own evil. The damp air peels the paint from damper walls, while mold nibbles away the gray riff of hope. Oh, the tragedy of human lives. I've seen ravaged, torn, and toothless faces, and I have shivered. It could happen to anyone. Thank you.
One more hand, please, for Suzanne Owens, and she'll be featuring over at the Emerson Umbrella Open Mic this fall.